Welcome back. It's 1144, 1260 WRC. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And once again, coming to the microphone this morning is Dr. Ben Carson, Professor Emeritus of Neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins University, and, of course, a Washington Times columnist. Today, you'll see his column deals with something that the president talked about last night, income inequality. Hello, Dr. Carson. How are you?
Doing very well, thank you.
You know, we're going to hear a whole lot about this income inequality all the way up to the election before it mysteriously goes away, right?
Right, exactly. It's sort of like the war on women, which was a big deal until after the election, and then the war disappeared.
Yeah, and now that's starting to come back again.
Exactly.
Yeah. You point out that pay is associated with value, and if it isn't, then we've got some real problems, right?
Yeah, I mean, when you're dealing with free market capitalism, obviously you're paid what you're worth. But the wonderful thing about that is you are the one who gets to determine what you're worth. And, you know, if you don't want to work hard in school, you just want to, you know, kind of take it easy, you don't want to develop skills, and then you go into the workplace and you say, but I must be paid this amount of money. That doesn't make any sense, not in a capitalistic system. Now, it does make great sense in a communist society. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what I sort of suggested is that perhaps what the president should do is describe communism and then describe free market capitalism before he started his remarks and say, I want you to listen to what I say tonight and tell me which system does it go into. Mm-hmm. And then you people can decide which system you want.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be a clear choice. You'll know what you're doing. You won't have somebody fooling you and cajoling you, and you wind up in a system and say, how did we get here?
Mm-hmm. You talk of an economy that is improving, or he talks of an economy that is improving, and it's simply not true. If that were the case, we'd have a whole heck of a lot lower number of people on, dependent on the government, right?
Exactly. I mean, you shouldn't see the numbers of people on food stamps going up and other types of government subsidies going up if, in fact, the number is improving. And, you know, unfortunately, and this is where I fought a lot of the media. You know, they sit around, they celebrate the fact that unemployment rate has gone below 7% without actually indicating why it has gone below 7%. Not because there are more jobs, but because more people have dropped out. And, you know, they don't want to talk about the labor force participation rate, which is the number of people who are eligible to work, who are actually working. That has gone steadily down since 2009 and is at its lowest point in over 30 years right now. You know, that is a horrible number.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that these people are dropping out and that we are subsidizing them makes absolutely no sense if what you're trying to do is grow the economy. So in his speech, President talks a good game. Yeah, let's grow the economy. But his policies are doing exactly the opposite. You know, as far as income inequality is concerned, just stop and think for a moment. You know, if you have the Keystone Pipeline going and a bunch of the other projects that the EPA is stymieing, look at all the jobs that it would produce for the electricians and the engineers and the plumbers and the diggers and all of these people who have to live, you know, basically from week to week and to deplete their monetary supplies, whereas the very wealthy can easily wait it out, park their money in an interest-bearing account, and continue to increase their wealth. That's why the disparities are getting greater. It's the policies.
And you mentioned the Keystone XL pipeline. I got the funny feeling last night in trying to dive deeply into the president's words that he has no intention of signing off on that.
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, anybody who is being even slightly objective, I think, would come to the conclusion that, you know, the president says the things that sound good but has no intention of following through on them. And, you know, you have to be sort of a rabid fan to ignore reality and just continue to listen to the same rhetoric over and over again and get excited about it.
Yeah. You know, one of the things you wrote about is the effect of people relying so heavily on government. You contrast today with what you did and what your mom in particular did, the hard work of your mom. A different attitude.
A very different attitude. And, you know, she didn't want to be on public assistance because she noticed that when people went on it, they stayed on it, and it kind of changed the person that they were. And, you know, as growing up, you know, I saw so many people, even, you know, relatives, who did absolutely nothing. They sat around, smoked cigarettes and drank beer and collected checks and had babies. And, you know, what a horrible waste of potential. Because, you know, some of these individuals are really quite smart. You know, look at the number of people who drop out of high school in this country. 30% don't finish high school. You know, we need to develop all of that intellectual talent. All that intellectual capital is vital to the sustenance of this country.
Your mom worked for wealthy people, and yet there was no resentment, right?
None whatsoever. You know, I admired them, quite frankly. And, you know, I looked at them, and instead of envying them, I was saying, what are they doing? And observing them. And you know, that inspired me to work hard because I began to recognize that I could make myself valuable. And, you know, when I would talk to you know, highly educated people, and I would talk about things, and they would look at me, and they would be, like, shocked that this kid knew all this stuff, and which just encouraged me to, you know, continue on to know even more. And the more you know, the more opportunities come your way. You know, as soon as something comes up, they say, you know, Carson could do that. And that's been the case throughout my life. And I guarantee other people that it would be the case throughout their lives, too. I encourage people to spend a half an hour a day learning something that they don't know. In the course of a year, you will shock the people who haven't seen you in a year with your knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes you valuable. And the reason that that's so important is because, as the founders said, our nation is based upon a well-informed and educated populace, because they knew that well-informed people could not be easily fooled. It wouldn't matter whether you had a dishonest media. It wouldn't matter whether you had a dishonest politician, because well-informed people would be able to spot that right off the bat and know what to do about it.
Mm-hmm. One final question for you. Did you take anything positive away from the president's speech last night?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's positive that he's at least talking about, you know, developing the economy so that we have an expansion in the job market. And if he was willing to sit down and talk to people who actually know how to do that and relinquish some of the ideology, I think we could make some real progress in a short period of time.
Yeah, I think you're right. I really do. All right. Well, as always, Dr. Ben, I appreciate you being on the show today. Folks, if you haven't read Dr. Carson's piece in the Washington Times, it's in the print edition as well as online. It's called "Obama Is Wrong That Raising Minimum Wage Will Fix Income Inequality." Dr. Carson, always good to talk to you. Thank you.
Always a pleasure. Thank you. Goodbye.
11:52, 1260 WRC, Andy Parks live from the Washington Times.